Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is May 6th, 2019. This is the Wrestling Inc. Podcast Monday Night Raw Edition. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Raj Giri and Matt Morgan, who has news more exciting than anything you saw on WWE TV tonight. Mr. Morgan.
First of all, I apologize for us being a few minutes late here. I just got back out of my Longwood City Commission meeting where your boy here at Wrestling Inc. Was just voted in as the brand new mayor of Longwood. How about that?
Mayor Morgan. Wow. Mayor
Triple M. What's up?
Congratulations, Matt.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Very excited. Fought very hard for it. Worked very hard for it. And to get the unanimous, the way it works in Longwood, you get decided, our mayor is decided amongst us fellow commissioners. Mm. We have five that make all the decisions here in Longwood. And I'm one of those commissioners. Well, each year comes up the mayorship, and you could vote amongst each commissioner who you want to elect or stay with the same mayor. We had an amazing mayor before me, Ben Paris, who's done amazing work here. But to get the unanimous 5-0 vote for mayor in my just first year and a half in my first term is insanity, something I never fathomed. So insanely honored, but it's also why we're a few minutes late, so I apologize.
Hey, congratulations, man. Good that reason. Really cool. Really,
Jesse Ventura started out as mayor, and you know, so where he went.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. So that's better than anything we saw on TV tonight. And maybe we should start with the news that set the internet on fire mere moments after we ended our last SmackDown podcast, which John Moxley is back.
Wow.
The vignette. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I was up late last Tuesday night. Everyone was just speculating like crazy. Very slickly produced promo. He's breaking out of prison. Yep. Lots of perhaps cryptic hints and clues in there. But Mox, as he was touted at the end of the video, he's out of WWE control and back on his own.
How he got away with that, I do not know. Like, they send him off better than I've ever seen them send anyone off, right, Raj? Right. And this is how he repays them. Tremendous.
Yeah, so he is. Yeah, I thought that was, that had the internet just on fire last week. That was better than anything I've seen WWE produce in a long time. And that includes
that on Twitter. I saw you say that.
Yeah. Don't you agree? I mean, the fire. Yes. Firefly Funhouse stuff is good too, but
it is. But come on, this was exactly what you said. Like, how hard was this to put together? It looked great, looked slick. By the same token, how much thought process had to have been put in? Not that much. I mean, yeah, it was really, they'd have set up and all that stuff, and that's great. And the great editing and slick, you know, camera work. But by the same token, WWE, it's a zillionaire company, right? Zillions of dollars. Kevin Dunn, all these great video packages they're known for. And like that. He was able to go out and do that on his own accord better than they've done it in years.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so he's going to be back on the indies, I guess, starting in June. So,
oh, wow.
And here I thought he was burnt out. I really thought he was burnt out was why he was stepping away. Wow.
It could be just a few dates, you know, maybe not like a full-time
this
schedule.
Is not the sign. Yeah, you're probably right, but this is not a sign of a burnt out wrestler. Let me just put that out there. No. To immediately put this out? No.
Right. He looks like he's ready to get creative again.
Yes.
What it looks like.
And I went through and it made us all, I'm sure I'm not the only one who went through a bunch of old John Moxley videos. He did lose a lot of his isms, if you will, that he has, his weird body mechanics he has and coming out, and his everything about him is different, right? Yeah. How he moves. And he had a ton of that, like nonverbal, whatever you want to call it, body language. That is very different, very pipe, very. Everyone tries to say it's Piper-esque or this or that. Right. It's different even in him.
Yeah, I agree.
He's original.
Yeah, you look at the old Shield promos. He would just stand out in those. Like his delivery, his mannerisms, everything. He just had the star quality. And
we always thought he'd be the biggest star at the very beginning.
Yeah. And then, when they turn him babyface, WWE is just bad with booking babyfaces.
No, you could tell who their centerpiece was. They kept pushing Homeboy for the hot tag. He kept getting all the hot tags in their six-man tags. So that's who they were shining. And then the heel turn by Seth, it's like, holy crap, our boy's the third man of the bunch? How's that?
Right. Yeah. He was definitely pushed to the side. But, I think everyone's, anxiously anticipating where he shows up.
I am. Yeah.
And I think tonight kind of drove the point home that this is not a secret WWE plot to bring back John Moxley.
No.
And say Dean Ambrose is dead. I mean, because do you think they would have put on the show tonight if that was the secret plot?
Wow. I didn't even think of it, man.
I don't think they'd do it anyway. They don't own the name John Moxley.
No one does. Not trademarked. I searched.
But he can use it because of prior use.
Absolutely.
So WWE wants characters that they own. They own Dean Ambrose. They have so much equity in that name, that character.
That's a good point. You just ruined it for me because I was just thinking, like, when Glenn said that, I was like, holy crap, can you imagine if this really was some sort of work shoot? This would have gone down as one of the best ones of all time.
Absolutely. But the blood with the barbed wire makes me think
him using that name, that's not copywritten by WWE. They don't do anything. They don't sneeze without copywriting the freaking boogers coming out of their nose beforehand.
Right.
Feel free to steal that one, folks.
How did that work for you, Matt, with Matt Morgan? Did you have to fight them?
Yes. Me, Mark Jindrak at one time got cease and desist letters. And I got to, because we're tag teaming at the time in Japan, and I got to very politely send a photo of my birth certificate and said, thanks for playing.
Yeah, I remember Ultimate Warrior legally changed his name to Warrior, and like Ryback changed his name to Ryback. His name's now Ryback Reeds. So China changed her name. So that's when WWE creates your name, they own it.
And I get it. I fully get it. They put a lot of money. The way Vince used to sell it to us when we did promos was every minute you have, you need to treat like $1 million worth of advertisement money that you're wasting if you don't ballpark your promo, essentially. Each minute is that precious. So you can imagine the amount of stock they feel as owners that they put in these names. So I get it.
Yeah, but the issue I have with that is when these wrestlers are out doing media appearances and interviews and everything, they're not called by their real names. They're not like, hey, it's Colby Lopez. They're like, it's Seth Rollins. In a movie, right? Like Robert Downey Jr., he's not going out appearing as Tony Stark.
Iron Man,
So it's like they're these characters. They put so much of it of their own, and for the company to completely own it and not allow them to use it after after they're done, it's just kind of, I don't know.
Do you think it'll be a wrestling? Probably won't. But do you think wrestling will ever be famous enough or big enough, like movies are, to where, you know, they can go out and use their real names and everyone knows who they are? Like you said, you know, Homeboy playing Iron Man. He gets he's not booked as Iron Man for the interviews. Booked as Robert Downey Jr. Whatever. Do you know what I mean? Do you think it'll ever get to that point as wrestling?
I don't see it. I mean,
no, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, say like in your case, John Cena, when guys get to use their real names, you know, like Roman Reigns, that'd be interesting. If he ever left, he couldn't use that name. And that's how everyone knows him.
And his real name, it just doesn't, if it sounds crazy, doesn't fit him, right? Yeah, he doesn't look like what his name is.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's something. It's funny, Matt. You're mentioning, you know, every minute of airtime being worth $1 million and precious. And I want someone just to smash cut that into half the shit we saw tonight on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, tell that to the revival.
Tell that to the damn writers that are writing the show.
Oh, man. So the big headline out of tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, which was live from Cincinnati, is the wild card rule. They opened the show with Vince McMahon coming out to a huge pop, Roman Reigns interrupting him, and basically just started explaining it, that from now there will be this rule that three superstars from either show can go to the other show on occasion.
And then they changed it to four, even though there were five on this show.
Well, and Shane. So Shane...
The McMahons can appear on both, remember?
Hang on. Back to the wildcard rules. Anytime they want?
Yeah.
Yeah, it started to make it seem originally like Roman, Kofi, and Daniel Bryan were the exceptions. But throughout the night, they kept evolving it. Corey kept saying, well, any three superstars on any given night. Essentially, what this means to me, and I want to get your take, Matt, for all intents and purposes, is the brand split dead?
Yeah, that puts a huge bullet right through it.
I have a feeling this isn't going to last long, because think about what they have to do.
It ruins a brand split when they just did the draft.
Right. No, for sure. Well, so what happened last week is Raw and SmackDown both got their lowest numbers ever. Raw was the lowest rating ever for a non-holiday show. Wow. The Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve episodes were the only ones that have done worse. So record low ratings, SmackDown all-time low. So they panicked. So, you know, they... So they announced Roman and Vince. And Roman actually is not scheduled for SmackDown tomorrow. And all the Raw guys, all the top Raw guys are going to Ireland. You know, they're going to Northern Ireland for the European tour. So I don't think they'll have three top...
Is it true Goldberg's coming back?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's announced for Saudi Arabia. Is it just for
the one show, or will he be coming back?
I mean, he'll probably be doing a couple appearances to build it. But yeah, it's just for that one show.
I clicked on a couple of your little things on Wrestling Inc. news pieces, and I saw that about the Goldberg thing. I was like, so they're panicking.
Yeah, Goldberg, Lesnar, and Undertaker are all booked for the Saudi Arabia show.
I just wonder, what else with this panic, Glenn, do you think we'll get? What else do you think they'll do?
I mean, Hogan's going to be in Saudi Arabia, definitely with
now,
that.
That's they'll Saudi Arabia with all these other stars, but what about the cable show each week, bro?
I think they'll bring back, if they think it'll boost their ratings, like, let me put it this way, if they see a spike with Goldberg, I think they will go back and start saying, who else can we get? This is a proven way to bring in money.
Is it true about CM Punk, you guys? Was there truth to any of that? Like, maybe he was one of them as well, besides the Goldberg, Lesnar's?
No.
And anybody else they can get to come back that's a main big name?
No.
Okay. Matt, if I were you, I would be sending some behind the scenes text saying, hey, when Matt Morgan was on TV, look where the ratings were.
Well, here's one problem with the Monday night shows. Because SmackDown, they do live events on Monday night. So if you're taking three top guys from SmackDown and putting them on Raw, that weakens those live events a lot. I mean, already you're not.
When your ratings are this low, is that more important?
And those SmackDown Monday night shows, if you've ever seen the photos of the attendance there?
Yeah, they're low.
They are.
I mean, they flat out canceled their show tonight in Corbin, Kentucky. And you know, basically brought all the guys to Raw.
And I just put this out there. Women's wrestling has never been better than it is today. Do we agree?
In the ring, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's my question. When does it become, what's the word, indicative?
A draw?
That are they part of this with being low ratings, or do we say they're even at the mark they're at? Thank God for the women. Is it be lower?
There have been articles about that, and Raj, if you heard those murmurs, maybe it's just speculation, of saying, though, they're second-guessing putting women as the primary focus in this last WrestleMania. Some internally might be trying to put the blame there. I don't think that's the case. I think that the women's wrestling is what's keeping some of the fans.
For me, it is. If I have to do this show, I would fast-forward to all the women's a lot of the women's segments.
Yeah.
This year's WrestleMania...
I was intrigued by it. I was very intrigued by that main event.
I was too. And I actually, you know, like I said, if it was divided up, if you watched it as two separate shows instead of one long ass show, I thought it was really good. But business wise, as far as the network numbers, the ratings since building up to it and since, everything is down. And so, this was the first year that network subscribers were down after WrestleMania.
But Raj and Glenn, I think there'll be residual effect from putting the women in that main event. They ultimately, automatically shot them up through the roof as far as super duper stars, if you will. And now going forward, because they've done it in the past, I think it will start to pay dividends months, a year down the road, whenever have you.
And here's the thing too. Like people were saying the women's main event not trying. Well, I think what happened was last year, Ronda brought in so many people, like new subscribers to the network to watch her first match. So I think, you know, the woman, you know, is what was caused the big bump last year.
She's a female. Yep.
And this year with WWE booking, she wasn't the star that she was a year ago. So there was more interest in her last year than this year. And I think that's one of the reasons.
And little mistakes with Becky as well, who was white hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I pointed this out on Twitter. People were noticing more ads than usual tonight in Monday Night Raw.
Really?
And part of the reason why, it's a residual effect. I mean, I'm just telling this to someone that works in advertising. It's the low ratings. When you sell a show, you sell it at a certain number, a number that advertisers expect you're going to get X number of impressions. What do you do when you don't hit that number? You have to issue what are called make goods to make advertisers whole on what they already paid for.
Show it more than you normally would.
And I'm telling you, I see this even in the podcast business. When you have a number shortfall, you start adding more ad slots because you got people that are paying money coming in, and then you have all these unhappy customers that are mad you didn't hit the numbers you promised them before. So when the WWE loads it up like this, this is a good situation.
Good information.
Yeah, we don't know that for sure.
I'm just telling you that's how it works. That's how.
I know about. I mean, it's with website advertising too. They have, with podcasts like you mentioned. Yeah, it's everywhere. Make goods.
Yeah, you sell it at a rate, you fulfill at that rate. Speaking of ads, and speaking of the mayor of Longwood, I want to take a moment, thank the sponsor of this episode, which is Blue Chew.
Take it back. Get my name out of that right now.
Matt Morgan sitting silently during this ad. If any opposition is digging this far, could you imagine Matt, the opposition, digging into the podcast archives, just looking for some slip-up, something he said. Guys, remember the days when you were the mayor of Longwood? You were always ready to go? Well, good news. You're older now. Things that don't work as well, perhaps physically, but they still work there mentally. There's a solution now that can get you back in the driver's seat, bring back the Attitude Era in your pants, and give you that extra performance and confidence in bed. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So, hey, you know this is the stuff that works. It's science engineered to make it go time anytime. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they are chewable, they work up twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever that opportunity arises. You've heard me talk about it, the wow factor. You've heard Raj talk about it with his wife, with his girlfriend. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue. Maybe he's got something else going on. that's right, Mrs. Raj. You just remember that when you confront him. You've heard other people who are involved in politics, who I won't call out by name, who have used it and had a great experience. And now, the thing to remember about Blue Chew, it is not just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. You talk that good game. If you're one and done, Blue Chew will help you with round two, round three, round four, and more. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person's doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They are made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they are cheaper than a pharmacy, and we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use the promo code WINC. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BLUECHEW.com. Promo code WINC to try it free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And I'm going to be at StarCast, where Blue Chew is a sponsor, and they're sponsoring the roast to Ric Flair. So if you're there and you see me walking around, Raj, you're going to be in Vegas.
I will be there too. Yeah, we got a little panel with me and Nick during StarCast. So yeah.
Nice. Well, I will be there.
On that Friday at 2:30.
I'll have to check it out. BlueChew.com, promo code WINC to try it free. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So back to this wild card rule. This is just where it all dies. The brand split.
Yeah. Remember, I've been saying this since they started, that it's the same things that happened last time, where they tried to keep them separate and both loaded. Then they eventually made SmackDown weaker. And then eventually SmackDown live attendance went down. So they stopped doing the dual branded, you know, the single pay-per-views, like the SmackDown only and Raw only pay-per-views. Then, eventually the brand split died. And we're seeing that happen again. And one of the things was they had the talent start appearing on each other's shows. And so it didn't matter anymore. And then it died.
I'd rather they just kill it. I really do.
They can't, though. They can't because they signed these two separate TV deals. And even though it hasn't been confirmed.
Guess what? If you're Fox, you should want that because now you have carte blanche to every superstar.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they have it mentioned. You know, I don't know what their contracts are like, but I don't think Fox cares if the rosters are separate.
When, you know, before the last brand split, if you looked at the ratings of what SmackDown did, remember they signed for the USA. SmackDown was at Sci-Fi before. It was just sort of thrown in their overall deal with NBC Universal. It was not must-watch programming. In fact, it was often skipped programming by the fans. Fox is not paying what they paid for the B show.
No, they'll probably,
this makes it not the B show. Don't you see? If I haven't combined rosters,
you can't have two. That's Vince logic. Well, they're both A shows.
Well, they will definitely try to make SmackDown the A show. I think you almost have to because it's on Fox.
They have a gun to their head, finally.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, look, when they were on Sci-Fi on Tuesday, they were doing better ratings than they are now. Before the brand split. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Really? They did better ratings on Sci-Fi?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, these are their lowest numbers, like, ever.
What's crazy is, guys, we couldn't shut up about being more excited about covering SmackDown than Raw.
I don't get it. That's both shows. It's like, so how Raw goes, so does SmackDown. Usually if Raw's down 1 week, SmackDown's going to be down as well. I think they're going to be hurt even more tonight because of the NBA game, the Warriors game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Raj, what are you hearing about behind-the-scenes turmoil? Lots of news stories are leaking about more writers leaving WWE Creative.
Good. See ya.
Yeah. I mean, this head writer just left today. And then, you know, Road Dogg quit his position. They brought on Dana Warrior, Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett.
Give me both of those again and tell me when they got signed. And
Ultimate Warrior's wife was like a couple months ago.
And she's a writer?
Yeah.
Creative.
She's in creative. And
they must have been impressed with her. And then Jeff Jarrett, that's a great pickup.
Yeah. And so Jeff Jarrett's great. And you know, great. I think it's great with Dana Warrior too. I think they need more women in there because they can't write for women worth crap.
I agree with that point. I'm just, is this, you know, just homage to Ultimate Warrior more, or is it she's really this super creative person or something that I'm just, I don't know. I'm not in the know anymore.
Really. Yeah, I'm sure she must be because she's been working with them for a while, like an ambassador role, you know.
I've seen her.
Yeah, but
she's an amazing speaker. I love listening to her. She's a good speaker. I just didn't know she has creative ability with writing and putting together a wrestling show.
Yeah, we don't. Apparently she impressed some people. So,
Hey, can't hurt to try another places you normally don't pull from, if you will, because no offense to the current writers that they've had, they're still too chicken shit to put something out there without the fear of Vince X-ing it. And once they do, they cry about it and just give up.
Yeah.
Can't have that anymore.
I mean, outside of the opening segment, which made no sense.
None.
I mean, why Roman? Well, so Roman said he was coming out to Raw to finish unsettled business. It comes on Raw, and he's just complaining about Vince's kids being on TV every week. And it's like, you could have done that on SmackDown. There's no reason he had to be on Raw for this. And so, storyline-wise, none of it made sense. It made no sense why Kofi was there.
I think because, like, now put Hulk Hogan in that same role. Same role for Roman Reigns. He comes out and bitches and moans about the McMahon kids. I don't think we would care. We would just be so excited Hulk Hogan's on Raw and he's not supposed to. We're getting a treat. WWE, that's why they booked it that way. And they didn't put as much thought into it. Wait a minute. We should probably explain why he's coming on Raw tonight. It's Roman Reigns. They're going to go crazy. No, we're good.
Yeah. Well, and then Daniel Bryan coming out and then making his return to Raw, being pointed out, no, he's not a member of the Raw roster.
Can I just say, I put on the show after my meeting and I seen Daniel Bryan wrestling Kofi Kingston. I was like, what? What the hell did I miss here?
Look, from a talent standpoint, I don't mind Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns being on Raw. It does load the show up a lot more. I just think one of the biggest problems with WWE storytelling is that the stuff makes no sense. There's so many plot holes that...
No, like you just said with Roman, you're right.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And you do that on any other show, people are going to shit all over it. So WWE does it all the time.
You know, wrestling show, you mean?
Yeah. Like if on Breaking Dead, some dead character was back on the next episode and then back to dead on the episode after that. You can't get away with that. But WWE fans are just so conditioned that it doesn't matter that their response is like, well, why do you complain? Turn it off then.
Yeah. No, you don't want us to do that. You're lowest ratings ever.
Matt, if you move to Orlando and you become the mayor of Orlando, you don't keep showing up at the Longwood City Council meetings. I'm just
saying. Yeah, you do. I do.
Be like, gotta bring Matt back for the raid. He doesn't even live here anymore.
But if you're Orlando mayor, you don't all of a sudden start calling yourself the Longwood mayor again without any reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stay consistent. Yeah.
Anyway. If the show was more popular, I could see tomorrow people doing stupid things and just saying wild card rule. But no, wrestling's not that over anymore in the popular culture. This was 20 years ago. This was strange. So Kofi, Daniel, Roman, and then, hey, just for kicks, let's have AJ show up at the end of this segment after we say tonight we're going to see Drew versus Roman, we're going to see Kofi versus Daniel, and then AJ Styles comes out because AJ wants to talk to Vince McMahon, and then he gets paired with Seth Rollins, who came out as a tag team in a match against Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin.
And Vince just made them look like school children in this segment. He's like, you guys are teaming up. No reason why they're teaming up. We said this would happen a couple weeks ago. Like, this is the old baby face. This is how they book every baby face versus baby face world title matches, is that they have them team together and one accidentally hits the other.
It's going to be Mr. X in his fight. He's holding the homeboy up. Dude moves, gets clotheslined by his buddy. Wait, what'd you do? I don't know. What'd you do? Why'd you let him go? I don't know. Why'd you hit me?
I mean, they have done that for decades now, every time.
Yeah.
And then, Vince and Seth is like, no, I'm not teaming with him. And Vince's like, yeah, you are. And that's what he does. He
literally have a name. It's called the misdirection spot.
Good to know. Yeah.
I just feel like this was a waste of Vince McMahon, to have him in this role tonight. Because
that's what you're saying.
It made no sense. Why is AJ complaining to Vince that Roman's there? He's not wrestling Seth that night.
And nobody was going to stand up to him or do anything about it. There were no stakes. This wasn't the authority versus the heroic babyface or anti-hero. Because, and I was thinking about this, tweeted this tonight, given the reality stuff, why don't they have a storyline now where somebody wants to get out of their contract and has to fight their way out of their contract, and then they win and decide to stay, form a faction, disrupt from within? Why don't we take some reality and bring some stakes to this if you're going to have Vince on screen? It's just stupid to have him out there saying, wild card rule, I'm a genius, and everyone just goes along with it.
I got nothing for you. I mean,
because there's so much they could be doing.
This is storyline wise, it made no sense why AJ was out there. I don't get what he was complaining about.
What did this transition to?
It's a match of AJ and Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley and Baron Corbin.
This was just to lead to the misdirection.
Misdirection spot. So Baron and Bobby picked up the win. And this was the opening of the show where we saw all these superstars. We went into this match.
They start pushing each other.
AJ accidentally hit Seth with the flying forearm and just left.
He was knocked out.
Yeah, and then Corbin pinned Rollins.
And there were like six commercial breaks.
And by the way, this was real life, just so you know. AJ the babyface would go back and check on him and say, hey dude, I totally didn't mean to do that, obviously. This was real life in a real sport. He would just walk away.
But it does make it, AJ is coming across kind of heelish in this. So if it's a heel turn for AJ, I'm all for it.
See what you're doing, though, right there? You see what you're doing? You're letting them get away with lazy writing, not reality writing, because you just want to skip and get past and get to the point where AJ becomes heel. That's what they depend on us to do nowadays.
Yeah, fill in the blanks.
Like with Roman Reigns showing up on Raw, don't ask questions. Just be excited. Roman's here.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what's amazing we haven't talked about in a while, but that WWE comic book that's out now, like they have this writer who fills in.
I heard he's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. And because what it does is it takes all the stories you see and it gives the characters motivation, backstory. Yeah. Like it spells out everything to where it's like,
to be fair, they have more room to do it.
True.
To cover, if you will.
Absolutely, but right. I'm surprised people don't think about this stuff ahead of time. Why don't they ever say, what is AJ Styles' motivation? What's
you know
he here to
that's
do?
What the demon, you know, that's what the announcers are for.
Yeah, not even a lot of that. Not even a lot of like, I talked to so-and-so earlier today, and they filled in. Like, I've noticed a lack of that. They used to do that a lot.
They used to. That's how they used to do it. The real, like, JR and all, and King, they were very good at that.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing the same... You know, baby faces have to team together for no reason. There's no reason why they have to team together that was given. Why not just use reality, you know, that these guys have been considered the two best wrestlers and, they faced each other a long time ago in the Indies and they've been wanting this match forever to prove who's the best. And, you know, I feel like that's something that's it's just reality. And it seems it's way yeah. more interesting to me than I accidentally hit you with a forearm.
Well, speaking of inconsistency from the commentary, so the Miz was backstage waiting for Shane McMahon. They kept cutting back to that. But Sami Zayn comes out, Renee Young on commentary before the commercial break says, oh, good, Sami Zayn's coming out. This is my favorite part of Monday Night Raw. And then a minute into Sami's rant, she's like, somebody needs to shut him up.
Even though he's been doing the same rant for weeks.
Yeah, and she just said it was her favorite part of the show. And now she's having issue with it. I mean, I think tonight this was where it turned the page, right? The crowd wasn't popping for this. They were chanting boring while Sami was doing the same old thing. And then Braun Strowman interrupted him, chased him to the backstage of the ring, tossed him into a dumpster. And I guess they're in a feud now? You know, I was trying to remember where I'd seen it before. It was, remember, Sami Zayn lasted 10 minutes against Braun Strowman 2 years ago. Right. It was the first closest thing to a loss Braun had experienced since the brand split.
He had that dumpster match loss too to Kalisto. Yeah.
But I think Sami was first. Sami lasted 10 minutes in the ring with him. And so how are we supposed to take Sami seriously in a feud when Sami's running away from him backstage, getting tossed into dumpsters? I mean, at least Kevin Owens hit in a porta potty and got tricked.
Yeah. Well, this is probably, I'm guessing they're probably going to lead to a dumpster match, right?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, you mean Kevin Owens got out, he got Wiley Coyote'd.
Yes, right. Yes, outsmarted.
And so Sami, I could see them doing that with Sami too, where Sami does something to...
Shame. Here he is cutting these edgy promos, right? Something we haven't seen before. We haven't.
Yeah.
And that's what you do with it. The equity you guys just got with him moving forward and people being intrigued by him is worth so much money. Think about the dollars being wasted on the writing, things of that nature, to put baby, to hopefully write for babyface to get in a certain position, or heels to get so over that people are willing to pay their hard-earned money to see what you're going to do or say next. Sami gave it to you from day one coming back and has continued to give it to us on the microphone. And this is what you decide to transition it into? Come on.
And Glenn, to your, you know, what you were saying earlier, you know, having a wrestler wanting out of their contract, Sami would be perfect for that. You know,
perfect. Ideal, right?
Yeah, that'd be a great storyline for him. And then you have WWE trying to bury him; he keeps winning.
Kind of Daniel Bryan shoot story there for a while, right?
Yeah,
but he did it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, draw on the real stuff that's happening behind the scenes. Have Sami talk about trying to unionize the guys. I mean, can you imagine? Bro,
they would never allow that.
No, but talking about the conditions, you know, that they're working in, he could allude to it. But I'm saying Sami is perfect for this, and you could turn him babyface halfway through it. He would get everyone.
Like,
he
comes out in like a John Oliver 316 shirt or something.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because now they're just,
dude,
I mean,
Sami, if you're watching, do this.
Yeah. He's DOA. If this is the feud against Braun, like, Sami's run is over.
Yeah. Well, I bet they do a Wile E. Coyote finish with Sami beating Braun in the dumpster match.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that. No offense to Braun. I mean, I'm all in favor of Sami winning.
I mean, with where Braun is at, it's the writing's kind of on the wall with where they see him right now, which sucks. But
it does suck.
Because he was one of the superstars that seemed like a superstar that had broken.
Organically got over too, Raj.
Yeah. I mean, when that growl would hit, the people would just get on their feet. And that's kind of gone now.
And during this chase backstage, the Lucha House Party had a squash match against three enhancement talents. So they're building up the Lucha House Party.
I don't know about that.
Tonight's the start, man.
I'm sure they'll be back to losing on main event next week.
Okay, this made note. I feel like, I mean, this is just crazy as I'm reading this back that this is actually what we saw tonight. They announced Ricochet was going to face Robert Roode, and Ricochet's spot in Money in the Bank was up for this match, for the outcome of this match. Did anyone think Robert Roode, unless there was some secret injury we didn't know about with Ricochet, how could you have this year's Money in the Bank match without Ricochet?
Good call.
Yeah, but at least they should have done this last week and the winner gets put into the Money in the Bank match. You know,
they don't put stakes into anything. They did put stakes into this. Okay, give them credit for that.
Did. I mean, it was an all right match, but I don't think it helps Robert Roode either.
No.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got this new character he's already losing. You know, it's, again, building momentum and giving guys, you know, giving them a little push when they get a fresh coat of paint and not just beating him right off the bat.
Need those wins.
Yes.
Do you think the new character thing is something that he came up with and he thinks creative is on board with it, but creative's just sort of patting him on the head and going like, oh, yeah, good, new character. Sure.
You got it. Could be.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like sometimes these guys, like, it's not in sync with each other, right? Like, I don't know. It was just very odd.
That's a math point. That is good that they had, you know, there were stakes.
Sure.
There's so many of these matches don't mean anything right after the show's over.
And they could have a really good feud if they built to it. I thought this match was good tonight. This is probably my favorite next to Daniel and Kofi. This is probably my favorite match tonight.
Yeah, WWE's problem, we mention it all the time, is so many of their feuds are just guys trading wins. It's never a story, you know, that starts and then leads to a match. It's just them having a bunch of matches and trading victories. And so they did that here. You know, Rude beat Ricochet a couple weeks ago. Now Ricochet gets his win.
Backstage, we saw Heath Slater as Dominic and Rey Mysterio walked by him. Dominic got into a confrontation after the break with Samoa Joe, talking about destroying his dad, Rey Mysterio, at Money in the Bank. So actually, I thought this was good tonight. They keep building it. I like that Dominic's involved with it. This is one of the things I'm looking forward to at Money in the Bank feud-wise.
It just seemed like it was going to end with something more interesting, I thought, when they showed Samoa Joe going to his dressing room and, you know, just to talk smack. That, I don't know, I thought that was kind of weak. I thought he was going to attack Dominic, and I thought that would have been a good way to kind of, you know, get some fire on the feud. Yeah, they could.
So there was one women's match tonight. So Matt, to your point, I don't know how this is capitalizing on the women main eventing WrestleMania. Lacey Evans versus an enhancement talent. She sent out invites to all the other women in the Money in the Bank match.
I like that, by the way.
I did too. I think we could see a Lacey Evans Southern Tea Party segment with her having.
I like the invitations. I like her getting a local jobber, for lack of a better word, enhancement talent, to showcase her. That's how they should.
Absolutely.
You generally want to bring somebody in and then showcase them this way, right? Some squash matches. You don't get to see it with females very often. But they did right by skyrocketing her to, you know, put the rocket up, or you know what, right? To immediately be working with the champ as well. It immediately gave her credibility right away. So you can't really top that. But I'm happy that they gave her a local enhancement talent to see what she can do.
Yeah. And I think Lacey, you know, she feels like a star.
She's got it. I was wrong about her. You know, I'll say it right now. Wrong about her.
I don't think she should win at Money in the Bank, but I like her a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think she should win either. But I don't know, them clumping all the women together. It's kind of like all the improvements that were made to the division when Ronda was here it's now going back to where it was.
Yep. What's the saying? 10 pounds a bleep and a 5-pound bag. Yeah.
So, Raj, is it true that Dana Brooke got the spot that was intended for Sasha Banks in Money in the Bank, but with Sasha walking out?
Yeah, Sasha was originally pegged for that spot. So
you know what? I hope Dana Brooke wins Money in the Bank. Ooh, I think
you know what? That would be cool.
It's a Cinderella story, Raj, and people can get behind that.
It kind of is. It is. She's been buried so long now. It's going to be tough, though. They've got to play on the realness of what you just said, though.
And Sasha Banks, I mean, look at Booker giving her crap. Booker T talking smack about her in his radio show about her walking out because she's not happy. She's not in the title picture. Dana Brooke has been through a lot of shit, personally and professionally. She's had nothing to do for the longest time. Titus Worldwide, she was doing okay, and that got taken away from her.
Real life story is awesome. It's just, Glenn, is the damage done, and are we too far back?
That's my point, because, yeah, I'm all for that, too. I think Dana, it would be good, but she's just been beaten so much that I'd like to see that be the Money in the Bank be the next step up for someone on the rise. And if you're going to do that with Dana, start pushing her now. Start giving her wins.
Yes, words out of my mouth.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have to give her, like, some decent promos and work with her a bit on that. But I think they could have another, at least a Heath Slater situation on their hands if they do this correctly. Better than
that, but yes.
I agree. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's
you
like
don't want to make it a joke.
No, absolutely. Well, I didn't say James Ellsworth, Raj, please.
Heath Slater was comedy.
But they could really wrestle. I mean, they had good promos. Like, that was a great arc. I would take Heath Slater and Rhino. I would take that arc right now over anything we saw on TV tonight.
Wow.
That arc, wow. I was emotionally invested in that arc.
And Monday Night Raw writers, if you're watching, how shameful you must feel right now.
Matt, lately, what story arc? Forget the in-ring aspect of it. What story arc have you been invested in lately?
Anything concerning Daniel Bryan, right? But since he's been beat, there hasn't really been much.
Yeah, I think nothing. Kofi. Kofi nothing, was an investment.
I'm fans of. See, I'm fans of people, and I'm being the dumb fan that says I don't need a story. I just want to see them wrestle. I'm so excited to see Ricochet wrestle. I don't care about a story, and that's not the way to be doing this. We should care. And they programmed us to almost be numb to it, which is not good. It's why they lose so many fans, because other fans are not like us, where they'll continue to come back week after week and just okay and give rationalize and give them the okay to keep screwing us over with not giving us storylines and taking advantage of us, our fandom. Others aren't as strong and will not come back, and that's why the ratings are where they're at.
Yeah, there's no story. There are no storylines right now, are there? I mean, other than back shaving and Icy Hot. What are the storylines?
Nothing. Yeah. We have tag team champions. We don't know anything about.
No.
Yeah.
You have to like do your own research to know that how far back they go and
who are the champions. Can everybody name them? That's not the way it is in wrestling anymore. I generally cannot cover the show.
I have to think about it. Like Samoa Joe's U.S. champion.
Back in the day, there's more championships, so that's why it has nothing to do with it. Back in the day, you knew Jimmy Superfly Snuka was the Intercontinental Champion or second, and Hulk Hogan was the heavyweight champion. And
WWF didn't have as many champions, but you knew all the champions in WWF and WCW.
Absolutely.
Right?
At all times, I did.
Yeah. Hey, we had Becky Lynch do this run-in on Lacey tonight after. And this thing is, Becky didn't even get a comeback on it. I feel like so much of it happens on Twitter now that I don't know how the average fan feel. I mean, we talked about this last week. Why watch Monday Night Raw? You're going to see the best highlights on social media.
Follow it,
though. Yeah. Just watch the pay-per-views. You'll be fine. This was not must-see TV.
I don't follow Twitter, though.
Yeah, saying...
I don't follow the storylines that they're doing on it and the shit talking they're doing amongst each other. So if you're saying... that you should be watching the show to get everything filled in. I'm not doing that.
Well, if you can follow a show in a 3-hour show with just a few GIFs, that's a problem right there. You don't hear people saying, "Oh, I'm not going to watch Cobra Kai. I'm just going to watch a couple of clips of it." You know?
Hell no. Yeah, no.
If it's a good show, people are going to watch it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
This tonight, not so much.
No suspense, no intrigue, no. It's just the same bland old booking that they keep doing every week, and the ratings are falling. You would think Vince McMahon is a genius. He's a billionaire, but he should know to remove himself from the areas where he's not strongest, and the areas where the product is hurting the most. They're dropping in popularity at a huge rate, and since Mania, it's been even worse than ever. 25% down from last year with viewership. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and live attendance is down double digits. Merchandise sales are down. I mean,
double digits, 10%. What do you mean?
I think live attendance was like 15%.
Was like 20 or 25, wasn't it?
Yeah,
big one. That's bigger than the attendance. Merch being down 25% is immense. That's a problem. I'll also say that. Actually, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind. Go ahead.
I don't think there's anyone whose merch people feel like they have to have anymore. They're not even doing anything that's like gimmicky or interesting. Case in point, Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder versus the Viking Raiders. We had our tag team champions out there tonight.
Good, finally.
Yeah, but they lost.
They got squashed pretty much.
Was it championship titles were not up for grabs?
No.
Of course not.
Now, do they even say that? I don't think they ever even explain it to the viewers.
So I am... guessing the Viking Raiders are going to maybe win the titles at Money in the Bank.
Gosh, if they beat the Viking Raiders right off the bat, just like
pick a fork in them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I would assume this was done to set up a title match. So, yeah, Money in the Bank. Yeah.
Okay. High point of the show: Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt.
Dang, I'm gonna go back and watch it.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Talking Mercy the Buzzard and Abby the Witcher with Bray tonight. Mercy got rid of Ramblin' Rabbit because he didn't like his bohemian beliefs. And then they had kids there. There were a bunch of bored-looking kids sitting around Bray Wyatt. They're letting Bray Wyatt near children. I'm all in favor of this.
And these kids look like either like zoned out or I don't know if bored,
zombified, or just what do you mean?
Yeah, just kind of like dead eyes,
in a spooky way or in a shoot way.
I thought it was in a spooky way.
That's cool.
Like, it was kind of disturbing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
It was really cool. The director that made these, you know, he did an interview with Justin Labar that we have on the site somewhere.
And wow.
Yeah, he talked about.
How did you get him? Where did you get him?
Justin, I guess, knew him. But yeah, he's directed, he's done stuff with Will Smith and Tom Cruise. And he said that he puts Bray Wyatt up there with those guys as far as how much thought he puts into the character.
Love that. That's awesome. I want to watch that. You have the interview up now?
Yeah. I'll just shoot you guys the link. It is, I'll tell you what to search on the site.
Please.
Yeah. So Matt, back when you were there, did they pair you with creators like that? How did they handle?
When I was in developmental, they did. They'd pair us up with particular writers on the writing team. So when we got to the main roster, they know us really well. They know our ins and outs. I still have my paper to this day. I posted it on Twitter. You guys can go back and check it. Same on my Instagram. Of the Vitruvian Man that the writer at the time drew. The Vitruvian Man, you guys know who that is? Leonardo da Vinci's drawing of the perfect man. And this was going to be the introduction to my blueprint persona that I tried to sell Vince on, being having him be Dr. Frankenstein and creating the world's most perfect giant. And you show flashes, you know, of Andre the Giant, Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, then morphed into The Undertaker, then into Kane, and updating it with today's giants. And then, boom, the whole TV screen explodes, and you just see my, like, hulking silhouette, you know, breathing heavy. But and then the next week, you come back to him doing it's alive, and then building me up in kind of like a spinoff of the Rocky IV with Ivan Drago training with all this crazy synthetic different machineries, and he's basically the perfect man. And Vince loved everything about it, so I said the word synthetically created. And that turned them off because of steroids and things of that nature. I'm not even saying that. What are you're missing? But I still have the paperwork of that writer turning it in on my behalf. And they paired me with a creative team member at the time. Dan Madigan is who it was. Dan Madigan, good guy. We all loved him a lot as a writer. He knew us upside down, inside out. And unfortunately, he didn't get a big enough role where they would listen to him on a lot of characters.
Yeah. Hmm.
I mean, the vignettes sound cool. They sound cool. Yeah. Like, they could be really cool.
I thought that was awesome, but whatever.
No, I wish I knew what it was like now. I mean, we hear from all this talent that's left there behind the scenes. And you hear the stories about Vince just rewriting everything, having a very heavy hand in it. Yeah.
Well, when people complain about, like, they just want wrestling, you get a lot of wrestling on WWE shows. The problem is it's a lot of meaningless wrestling. It's matches that have no stakes, no storyline purpose. It's just done for the sake of filling time and forgotten about.
And no depth of character.
Nope. And it doesn't matter who wins or loses. It
does not at all. Tonight, Exhibit A with a tag team match. Non-title, they lose again. Have they done nothing but lose so far since winning the championships?
No, Kurt Hawkins got some pins because it was a big deal that he's won more matches.
In singles matches?
Not on Raw.
They won at least 1 week. They beat the Revival, remember? Tag matches. Yeah, so Kurt picked up still a win, but part of the tag team.
Samoa Joe hasn't won since Mania, I don't think.
That's a travesty. I'm using the bathroom real quick. All right.
That's how I felt during most of Raw. Like, well, use the bathroom. I mean, Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. Okay, this was a match.
It was a waste of time. It was just a DQ finish. It didn't
Shane
do
anything. Elias running in.
Yeah, so Vince later is saying it's only going to be three people. And if there's more, they're going to be suspended. But here we had Elias, right? And then Lars later, so it's five. And then Vince did change it to four, but you had five people on tonight from SmackDown. So they're not staying consistent with their storylines on their own show.
Yeah, they're separate brands, except when they feel like putting someone else on the other. But the weird thing about it is that there's no rivalry anymore between the brands. I mean, remember the invasion aspects that we had, the run-ins with Becky before Survivor Series? That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not even pitting the brands against each other anymore.
I mean, we've talked about this so many times. There's so many interesting things you could do with, like, them trying to steal talent from the other brand and you know, signing someone from under their nose and, you know, like, have a rivalry there. So it just gives you more storyline options and things to do.
we need GMs again, because with just the McMahons aren't fighting against each other is very boring when there is zero conflict.
Yeah.
In the oversight. So yeah, this was DQ Shane, Elias running in. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. Oh, so the Miz came in because he's been looking for Shane. Shane ran away from the Miz. I'm hoping the Miz's father at least shows up in Money in the Bank and plays some role in the Shane versus
Miz. He probably will. He got injured in that. I think he had like
cracked a rib.
Yeah, he cracked a rib. Yeah. So
he said that Vince McMahon told him that him getting in the ring, putting up his fist, was his favorite part of WrestleMania this year.
Well, that's saying something.
Tells you a lot about Vince.
Yeah.
The Revival versus Gallows and Anderson. Matt Morgan, I'm so glad you're back for this. So does this hurt the Usos now at this point that they're pulling out this gag from Revenge of the Nerds that the Usos put Usy Hot in the Revival's bag? So they rubbed it all over themselves. It's sweat activated. They're burning. They're rubbing their butts and groins all over the ring with their gear there, the Revival, as they're doing this.
They did this comedy bit in the middle of the match?
Nope, this is what happened instead of the match. And then the Revival ran to the Usos. They're like, oh, we have some water for you. Gave it to them. They poured water down their trunks, and the Usos said, oh, water makes it worse, guys. And that was the payoff to the joke. This isn't just hurting the Revival. This is hurting the Usos, the best tag team in all of the WWE.
Yeah, I can't argue that. That's terrible.
Yeah, when the Usos came out, there was like there weren't many cheers. This is hurting them.
And the fact, I don't know if it was Jimmy or Jay when they came out that was saying, what?
Yeah. What?
Like he was trying to hype it up.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, can you believe that the Usos are here? It was just so stupid.
So yeah, so the Revival, they, you know, were offered new deals. They didn't sign it. And so they're being buried, and this is, you know, this is what they're doing. They'd rather put on bad, embarrassing TV to embarrass talent for not re-signing.
Okay. Real quick, memo WWE, you're not in any way, shape, or form in position to be doing this, wasting television time and our time, the viewers watching it, the fans watching it, because you want to punish your wrestlers. You want to do it behind the scenes. Don't put it on TV and waste our damn time with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, this was just so cringe. It's one thing if you're, you know, I'm all for doing, if you want to do comedy segments and stuff, I'm all for it if it's good. You know, Daniel Bryan and Kane, I think of that, you know, when they did the anger management stuff.
But the burial, the purposeful burial, yeah. I'm never a fan of that. I don't need to see it. None of us do.
Yeah, it was just stupid. I mean, it was embarrassing watching this. And like, I was just worried my wife was going to, because she always comes in when the stupidest stuff on wrestling is on. And I was worried she was going to, it felt like I was watching porn because I had my hand on the remote ready to change the channel in case she walked in. And I don't watch porn on TV, but anyway.
Thank you for sure.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, No Way Jose came out and got destroyed by Larson.
That's when I'm like, man, if I didn't have to do this show, I would have been out.
You made it that far without picking that?
How quickly was the squash?
Oh, no, Lars, it wasn't even a match. Lars just beat the crap out of No Way Jose.
Wait, so No Way Jose, we were led to believe, was going to come out, what, cut a promo?
Do something. He had a conga line with him.
Have the single spotlight on him. All of a sudden, we're supposed to believe he's a big deal.
Well, and Lars did destroy the conga line also. That was good booking, I think, because Lars destroyed multiple people. And then afterwards, we went backstage to Lars confronting Vince McMahon. Vince clarifying that Lars can show up wherever he wants, basically.
Wow.
Well, no, Vince said that the wild card is three. He's on the phone saying, this wild card is for three talents that can go back and forth each week. And then Lars walked in and he goes, all right, it's four. Even though technically there were five on this show.
Yeah, so Lars can do whatever he wants.
Let's slow down here. That's a big deal right now. You're telling me he was in a promo backstage venue
with Vince
one-on-one?
And Vince was scared of him.
Yeah.
Awesome. He's about to get the monster push.
I've been saying this forever. Lars, when,
that's a sure sign of it. It's coming.
Yeah, I've been saying it. Lars is the guy that I both saw last year as being in the main events. You know, whether fans feel like he deserves it or not, that's the kind of guy Vince likes.
Yep. Hey, remember that thing about us being the authority and no automatic title rematches anymore? Well, tonight, Daniel Bryan faced Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship, which is not headlined a dual brand pay-per-view, but was able to headline an episode of Monday Night Raw, not even the brand it's associated with. The big headline out of this is Kofi Kingston beat Daniel Bryan clean in this rematch here.
Wow.
Is this the end of the feud, you think, Raj?
I don't think so, just because of the options that they have. You know, they just don't have that many people. I'm assuming they're going with Daniel Bryan after Kevin Owens is over.
I do still want to put it out there that I still do see a big heel turn coming. It's going to come within this championship run of Kofi's.
Well, he's out with injury right now.
Oh, he is?
Torn meniscus. Yeah,
torn meniscus.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be back.
Yeah. He's not expected to be out that long, but
6 weeks, I'm guessing.
They never gave an estimated time, but yeah, I think that's typical, right? 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this match was good. This is my favorite match of the night. I thought it was good. They let these guys go. Yeah. They got like 20 minutes at the end of the show.
I was able to catch. This match was awesome, and I couldn't fathom because I didn't see the explanation why Daniel Bryan was there. I was like, what the hell happened? What did I miss?
So he's been cleared. He had a concussion, or it's believed that he had a concussion, but he's been out with an undercoat injury.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, man.
The crowd was kind of dead for this, and I think it's just the show. Just show just brought them down because they were hot for Kofi and Daniel Bryan in that opening segment. I mean, when Kofi's music hit, the pop was gigantic, and same as Daniel Bryan. So, the show just took it out of them, I think.
Yep, that's indicative of not the talent, but the entire long-ass three-hour show, especially when it's not written well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Best talent they've ever had in ring. Yes. So much talent on that roster, and they're just being wasted. I think if you watch this that you just like wrestling, like you just like in-ring action.
A ton of that, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, but even then, I feel like, I mean, the opening of the show, there was all that goddamn talking. You know, before we got to the wrestling match, they had zero stakes.
The rest of the show was pretty much wrestling, though.
It was. There was a lot of wrestling, but wrestling without consequences.
Exactly.
It's like, Matt, I don't know. So if you're watching a bar fight, right? It's like, oh, exciting. It's a bar fight, but I kind of want to know, why did it start? Who said what to whom?
Yeah, and you're not going to watch it for 5 hours if it's just the same thing, you know? You need to have it, like you said, a storyline, a reason.
Something. Anything to explain. So that was Monday Night Raw tonight. The XFL has announced its broadcast schedule. What's the scoop on that, Rob?
Okay, let me get this up. It's a pretty pretty interesting deal. They are they've signed with Fox and ESPN. They're going to have 43 games. More than half of them are going to be on broadcast. So it's going to be on ABC and Fox. So big names, but they're not getting any rights fees out of it. So it's no rights fees, but Fox and ESPN will be covering the production cost, which is about $400,000 a game. So that comes out to, I believe it is $17.2 million then is what it would be for the season. So while they're not getting rights fees, they are getting that. And if it becomes a big hit, it's going to have tons of exposure being on broadcast television. First XFL was as well. They dropped fast. But this year, you know, with this, they'll be on ESPN and Fox, and then ABC and Fox with supplemental games on ESPN, ESPN2, FS1, FS2. And yeah, they have back-to-back games Saturday and Sundays afternoons, two games in primetime on Fox. So as far as exposure goes, it's a great deal. Money-wise, it's not, but I'm sure the networks are very careful after the AAF just bombed. I mean, it went out of business quick. It didn't even last the season. So if they become a big success, they're going to get a huge money offer at the end of it. If it, you know, if it proves to be successful.
Well, we shall see. AEW, no TV news yet there.
I got to tell you. What's that, Matt?
Rumors onto their TV.
Yeah, the rumors are TNT, TBS are the front runner. But, you know, the longer that they're not signing, if there's not a deal signed this month that's announced, I think, you know, it starts getting dicey because, look, WWE is pro wrestling in the eyes of TV executives. And I think Dave Meltzer mentioned that TV executives are taking notice of the drop in WWE ratings. And if wrestling is deemed as not hot, if wrestling is deemed as not hot, that affects everyone.
That's across the board. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think they're going to get WWE-style money because they don't have a track record.
No.
But at this point, I mean, they could do a lot with a little.
Just getting that exposure. I mean, look at where Impact is at right now. They're on a station no one's heard of. So just to be on a big station like TBS or TNT, even if the money's not the best, even though the rumor was that they are getting paid for it, that's a huge start for an upstart pro wrestling company.
Yeah.
It is.
And the WWE's business as well. Really, all you have to do is watch Raw tonight to get a sense of
the
state the WWE is in.
Yeah, we've talked. So live events is down 15%. Attendance is down 11%. Average attendance is down 11%. But that was also artificially boosted by the Royal Rumble because that was in a stadium.
Wait, what's the difference between attendance and live? Oh, because it includes TVs.
Yeah, there was the one is the revenue. Revenue is down 15%, and then attendance, the average attendance. And so fewer events, so more Raw and SmackDowns factored into that as well. So it should be better, but it's not. Merchandise, like you mentioned, Glenn, is down huge. WWEshop.com orders down big time, like over 20%. So really, it's bad all around, except they're going to be getting a ton of money with Saudi Arabia this next quarter. So they had a loss last quarter. Which I think not a lot of people are expecting over 5 million. But now with Saudi Arabia, they're going to, be in the red. Be in the black, this quarter and the next two.
WWE stock is still down about $13 off its high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's its high.
Was it 100?
It hit 103 at one point.
Yeah. So yeah, down a little more than that. Kind of crazy. That's Monday Night Raw. That's the WWE. Mr. Matt Morgan, what do you want to plug before we take this home?
Nothing.
There you have it. Raj.
We had the big news, Mayor Matt Morgan.
Mayor Matt Morgan.
Yeah. Join us tomorrow after SmackDown. What did they announce for tomorrow? There was some Kevin Owens is opening the show. What's that?
Sort of tag division. Team. Yeah,
they're crowning new tag team champion, or they're gonna decision's gonna be made. And Shane and Elias were one of the teams, and I think Kofi and Xavier was one. Because right now they're down to four tag teams. They got the Colognes, Nakamura and Rusev, Heavy Machinery, and
they also have Finn Balor.
Oh yeah, Finn and Ali.
Yeah, Finn and Ali. So they're making all these makeshift teams. We'll see. But I, Matt, you had mentioned on Twitter, you think Shane and Elias should win it.
I do. I think this is the next step for Elias. They're finally getting back to his push. I think obviously pairing Shane with him, putting equity into it. Right. Mm-hmm. Next thing should be some sort of championship. Right. He deserves it. They're an intercontinental opportunity. They missed the freaking ball with. Hopefully they do the right thing in the tag thing with him. And it might feel a little Miz Shane McMahon-ish. Right. If they do. But hopefully they're able to do something different with it and just continue to have, homeboy can still wrestle singles matches and do things like that with Shane in his corner and rooting him on and doing some of his promos at times for him. And, they've done that in the past. In the Attitude Era, remember, they used to put Shane with tons of different guys. They randomly put him with Big Show once when he was fighting for the World Championship versus Hunter, I recall. Things like that when they think somebody needs that extra something, that extra oomph. So I'm cool at putting in that with Elias. That excites me a little bit.
Yeah, because I think the B team was a fourth team that I forgot. But yes, B team, Colognes, putting the titles on those guys, or Nakamura and Rusev are kind of cold. And Heavy Machinery, I just don't think it's the right time. So, I agree with you. I think Shane and Elias would probably be the most entertaining option of those.
It could be, yeah.
We shall see. Join us tomorrow night talking about SmackDown Live. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. You can find me on Twitter at Glenn Rubenstein, where I appreciate greatly a follow, where I live tweet along with WWE programming. And we'll get you back here next time.
Block Glenn on Twitter.
We can just mute me. I mean, you don't have to block me. I'm just saying. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.